Hi everyone, thanks for the introduction. I would like to start my presentation with a brief introduction. The 2013 Renewable Fuel Standard cites that cellulose ethanol production costs falling to $2.50 per gallon, and today the industry is transitioning to commercial scale. And the facility will require steady supply of feedstock in the near future. And cellulosic energy crops might be one of the solutions to this issue. In this context, I present to you switchgrass as a dedicated energy crop. Switchgrass is compatible with plant and harvesting practices, where we can have high yields on marginal lands with low nutrient requirements. Not only a dedicated energy crop, but also decision-making aids will be necessary for this incoming industry, and the Almanac model has the potential to be one of those. The Almanac is a process-oriented model that uses EPIC model subroutines and new routines for plant growth. It can predict plant growth and production, and the inputs are basically weather, soil, and management. The new version for Almanac for Windows 7 allows the user to modify the crop input parameters, and this makes possible for the user also to calibrate the model for different conditions. And last year, in this section, I presented how I calibrated this model for switchgrass in Arkansas conditions. And I did it by modifying 5 of those parameters. However, that calibration worked well during the growing season. However, during senescence, doesn't simulate pretty well biomass losses. Not only biomass losses, but also nitrogen removal might be interesting to be simulated for this incoming industry. Under those circumstances, I present to you the objectives of my research. First, to identify processes that improve simulation of biomass losses. And second, develop logic for Almanac to simulate nitrogen removal by enhancing the existing logic. To achieve my objectives, I use different trials in different locations in Arkansas and Oklahoma states. For logic development and process identification, I used a growth curve trial and a senescence trial. And for validation, I used different nitrogen rate trials, which had different kinds of nitrogen sources, and in two different ecoregions, the Ozark Highlands and Bottleland and Terrace. In 2008, a switchgrass field was established in Fayetteville, and the seasons 2009 and 2010 were considered the growth curve trial, and the seasons 2011-12 considered the senescence trial. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design with 6 replications. During growth curve trial, we had 12 sampling dates from May to February. And during senescence trial, 5 sampling dates from August to December. 2 nitrogen rate trials having urea as source of nitrogen were located, one in Pine Tree and other in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And other 2 rate trials, but having poultry litter as nitrogen source, were used as well. One located in Haskell, Oklahoma, and the other located in Fayetteville, Arkansas. All those nitrogen rate trials were established in 2008. We had the following rates on those trials: 0, 50, 100, and 150 kilograms per hectare applied. Biomass were collected in every October after peak yield. The samples collected in all trials were dry matter yield, nitrogen concentration and removal of dry matter yield, soil description prior to establishment, and daily weather data. Additional sampling was collected only in the senescence trial in 2012 and to us crown nitrogen concentration, where 5 cm diameter crowns were collected at a depth of 10 cm. They were washed, dried at 60 Celsius until constant weight, and the nitrogen concentration analysis were performed. So let's move to results and discussion. First, above ground biomass losses analysis. During the senescence period, from peak yield to killing frost, biomass was not significant difference among sampling dates, except in 2009, where we had some biomass losses. However, they were minor, only 28 kilograms per hectare a day. On the other hand, during post-senescence, after killing frost, we had considerable losses of biomass. But in both years that were measured, a minimum amount of 9 tons per hectare were observed in field. Those are the thick stems that are not prone to shattering. they are resistant to snow and wind action. Not only analyzing the data, but also understand how Almanac simulates biomass losses is interesting. And Almanac simulates biomass losses using those two parameters, FRST 1 and 2. They are codes that describes coordinates for 2 points in an S-curve, where the value before the decimal point is the minimum temperature, and after the decimal point, the fraction of the biomass that's going to be dropped in one day. And for Almanac, for switchgrass, those values are 1.01 and 3.95. For example, 3.95 means that when the minimum temperature, the air temperature becomes minus 3, 95% of the biomass that remains will be dropped. I know it's a little difficult to understand, so let's put that another way. Last year, I explained how Almanac simulates biomass during the growing season. So after growing season, the frost damage logic kicks in. And when the temperature becomes lower than minus 1, for example, minus 2, this equation is going to be solved, the S-curve is going to be solved, and so the fraction that's going to be dropped in the next day is calculated. And this happens until the above-ground biomass becomes zero. So understand how the model works, and also analyzing the data, understand better how the mechanism works in field for the plant, I try to make some suggestions to improve that biomass loss simulation. The solid line shows the simulated by default by Almanac, and the dots, the black dots, are the observed values. As you can see, the simulation is overestimated. We have too much biomass losses, and it occurs too soon. However, with two suggestions, as shown by the green dashed line, we could improve the simulation. The first suggestion was, we need to have at least 5 consecutive days with the temperature minus than 1 Celsius for we start to have biomass losses. Switchgrass is resistant to killing frost. Second, a minimum amount of 9 tons per hectare must stay in field. Those are the thickened stems that are not resistant to shattering, as the data shows. So now let's move to objective 2, nitrogen data analysis. First, Almanac simulates the change in nitrogen concentration in a plant based on this equation, a first-order decay kinetics proposed by Jones in 1983, where the concentration in a day will be a function of the heat units accumulation from emergence to peak yield, and described by 3 parameters. However, Almanac just have logic during growing season, nothing during senescence. And according to our data, it follows the first-order decay kinetics as a function of 50-unit index for switchgrass in our conditions. However, during senescence, the change in nitrogen concentration tends to follow a linear decrease as a function of DOI. In addition, during peak yield, the concentration of nitrogen in the biomass increases in the subsequent years. But in all years, during killing frost, we had a minimum amount of 0.4% in the biomass. It happens because switchgrass is able to translocate nitrogen from the above-ground biomass to the crowns. And so in the next year, we're going to have more nitrogen available to the plant. The one that's already in the crown, and the one that's going to be absorbed by the soil with nitrogen application. And with the additional data collected in the senescence trial in 2012, I could calculate the approximate value of the amount of the biomass that's translocated, and this was 54% of the total nitrogen containing the above-ground biomass. So, Almanac simulates how the plant absorbs nitrogen from the soil using this simple equation, where the rate of nitrogen supplied by the soil is equal to the amount of nitrogen in the soil divided by the soil water and multiplied by the plant water use rate. Basically, this equation mimics this process. The amount of water that is evaporated from the leaves is the same amount of water that the roots is uptaking a day. And so the nitrogen uptaking a day is exactly the nitrogen that was in the water that was absorbed. So using those equations and also the data that I analyzed from our fields, I try to develop some logic to calculate nitrogen removal and simulate it during the season and during senescence. And during the growing season, that is how I developed it. First, I calculate the soil water content by soil water fraction and root depth. And so after, I could calculate the plant water demand by having the values of evapotranspiration, root depth, maximum root depth, soil wilting point, and field capacity. With those two values, I was able to calculate the rate of nitrogen uptake by knowing the amount of nitrogen in the soil, and so I could calculate the nitrogen concentration, basically in the total biomass simulated and root weight. And all those values that I used as input actually are outputs from Almanac, so I could simply plug this with Almanac and make it work. And during senescence, I could calculate the nitrogen concentration basically on values collected from the research. And once I multiply the nitrogen concentration by the simulated yield, I have nitrogen removal during growing season and senescence. So after developing the logic, I need to verify, see if it works for the conditions that I developed. And so I run for the growth curve trial. And here I'm showing the solid line as the simulated values. The green line is the observed yield. And the dashed lines in yellow is the 9.5 confidence interval. As you can see, the simulated values agree pretty well with the data. For nitrogen concentration and nitrogen removal during growing season and senescence period. So the model was verified. However, it was not validated. What that means? It is still not working for other locations. That's what we really wanna. Using the data from the nitrogen rate trial, we can see that the observed values does not agree pretty well with the simulated values, because the regression analysis between the linear regression from the simulated and the observed values were have an intercept significant different from zero and a slope significant different from one. So this could not be validated. Conclusions for biomass losses. 5 consecutive days of frost is required for substantial loss in biomass for switchgrass. Switchgrass was capable of maintaining shattering resistant biomass far into winter. In this study, that level was 9 tons per hectare. For nitrogen removal conclusions, developed logic for nitrogen removal was verified but not validated for other environments. Therefore, further improvement in nitrogen removal logic is needed. So that was my presentation, and questions are welcome. The question was, what's the importance of nitrogen for the bioenergy industry? The content, high or low, what's better? And I agree with you. Low nitrogen content is going to be better. Because when we use, for example, switchgrass for burning, we are going to release greenhouse gases, more greenhouse gases like nitrogen oxides and goes. So that's the problem. We want always low amount of nitrogen, not only for an environmental problem, but also if you keep the nitrogen in field, we need to apply less. That's going to be cheaper for the farmer to produce next year. The question was, which switchgrass cultivar I used? I used alum, and this was specific for alum.
So this equation is specific for alum?
Yes, it is
so
specific for alum.
Type of plant cultivars.
I think that most of the trends is going to work pretty close to. But when we develop parameters, if you change the cultivar, we may need to check if it's really working for that other cultivar. So what I need exactly is to extend the validation. Try it to see if that logic is working for other cultivars or not.
If you have any questions, would you speculate on why your simulated nitrogen removal values seem so much higher than the actual?
The question was why on the observed values when we are in the validation in the nitrogen ray trials, why it looks like that most of the times they are higher? Well, actually, I really don't know exactly why they are higher. But I mean, the variation occurs because, in my opinion, there are other processes that my data could not reveal, so I cannot work. And sometimes what happened is the nitrogen concentration was higher later in season, especially for the poultry litter trials. Because what happened is, when you have urea, we are going to release that nitrogen exactly in that year. But when you have a poultry litter, we have a higher carryover that it's going to decompose and release slower. So we have a high nitrogen concentration in the next year. So that's something that my the logic that I've developed don't account. That's a problem, something that we need to do more studies and add that before, after. Thank you.